ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Brother Mac, how you doing?
Tired.
I'm glad to have you on here, my brother.
To Denver, but pretty much good news.
Okay, praise the Lord for that. How far of a drive is it for you to Denver?
About 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that'll tire you out. I remember those trips. That's just one way. Okay.
Yeah.
Folks, welcome aboard. Coming up next, Professor Tom Mack and Major Tom Baird continuing the marathon. Again, we did a bilingual show in 6 o'clock hour. Had Adriana Salazar preaching in Espanol. Praise the Lord. Hope y'all had a great weekend out there. And give me just a minute. I'm not picking up the Major yet.
Now you'll have to get Al Cuppet to preach. And he does Spanish.
Oh, yeah.
He does German.
He does
Italian.
That guy's amazing.
Yes, well, he went to all these places, and so he had to learn the language.
Good evening.
Good evening, Major Tom. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. I had forgotten to put Skype on. I've got it on now.
Okay. Let me call you right back. Stand by.
All right.
Okay, we're going to call the Major back. Stand by a minute. Okay, here we go. Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Even Major Baird could do a little German.
I was going to ask, can he speak Vietnamese too?
Not real well.
I know he worked with...
Vietnamese is sort of a hard language.
I think he worked in Cambodia too. He might speak some Cambodian.
Yeah, not real well. That's an even harder language.
Better than me. All I know is one word, pho. They say it tastes really good. Brother Baron, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing really well, thank you.
Hey, as we're getting started now, we were talking about languages. Do you speak any Vietnamese or Cambodian?
Yeah, I... Toi Noi Ting Vietnam Phai Hong.
Okay, the mic is yours, brother. Take it away. You want to break out Vietnamese?
All I did was I said, yes, I speak Vietnamese. Do you?
That's amazing.
Anyway, yeah, I don't remember very much now. I used to be semi-fluent. Okay, shall
praise
we pray?
Let's pray. Everybody,
yes,
welcome
please.
Aboard. We're going to get started. Gentlemen, over to you.
Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment that we can be with you. We ask, Lord, that your word go forth and that anything that comes from our lips would come from you. And anything that's inspired of the enemy that you desire not to be said, cause it to stop before it reaches our tongue. We thank you, Lord. May the meditation of our heart and our mind be acceptable and pleasing unto thee. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Major Tom, take it away.
Okay. Who do we have on? Is Tom here too?
Yes, I just barely got in.
Oh, okay. Well, I had prepared a different message. It's similar to what you had, but it's not in the same PowerPoint. So okay. Essentially what I want us to do is go through a summary of what we are seeing today and some of the things that we can expect to see in the future here, not too very far distant as well. And speaking of the day of the Lord, now we have quite a lot of different teachings, which causes a lot of confusion over this particular phrase that says the day of the Lord, the day of the wrath of the Lord. As though the wrath of the Lord is going to be a protracted 7-year period of time or a 3.5-year period of time. That's the tribulation. The tribulation is not the wrath of the Lord. The wrath of the Lord, in fact, when it speaks of it in several places, who can stand in the day of the Lord? In other words, who can withstand the Lord in his day of wrath? Because it is so severe. One of the things that causes it to be so is not the nuclear aspect of energy, but the plasma aspect of energy that's out in outer space. And it's calculated there, and I don't have the exact mathematical formula of it, but essentially a ball of plasma contains in it, if you knew how to detonate the entire thing and cause it to react, has enough energy in a softball size, actually smaller than a softball size, you would have enough energy to completely cause the Earth to disappear. To burn up. That's how powerful that is. And that's just in this particular dimension. God is in many, many more different dimensions than that and with far greater power than that. So just understand that. In fact, just as an aside, astronomically, in between Mars and Jupiter is the asteroid belt. Well, it turns out that it used to be a planet named Asteroid. And in it, they cannot find enough, they've counted up all of the objects that they can identify at this point in time of asteroids. And there's not enough there to actually account for the entire mass of that particular planet. It also happened to be the planet, some say, some of the ancient texts actually speak of it, as being the planet of the Nephilim, and that God destroyed that planet. Well, he could have very easily have done it from this particular source of energy, because they don't see any other minerals being reflected in the light spectrum. Other than that, just that one object. So that's just an aside that God could do that. Now, with God in his wrath, there's another thing that we need to understand. It actually is, if you begin to study that particular term and phrase, you're going to find out that it's essentially talking about a 24-hour day, one day, that'll be the wrath of God. That will appear on the and then be finished. In fact, it may actually be something different than that. It may only take God about a half an hour. For it is written, and this is in Revelations 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now you got to remember. This is right at the beginning of the description of the seventh seal. You have, and we'll get into this a little bit here as we go along, we have three sets of judgments, seven of each, seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven plagues. And so this is beginning that. You have prior to this a description of heaven and the throne of God, and it sort of follows the same format that we use in a military operations order, what we call a five-paragraph field order. You always include in it where you're going to find the commander. And that, as we go into Revelation, it actually follows that format. It has the description of where the commander is. In that description, you find the Heavenly Father on his throne, and you have great rejoicing. You have great praise throughout heaven as he's on his throne. But when he stands up and leaves his throne, suddenly there's all total silence. And it's describing it right here, the half hour of silence. Now, I'd like to use the format of Psalms 50, which is a judgment of God. And we'll begin there for the first three verses to go along with this particular half hour period. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Isn't that a nice description of Jesus right there? Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. Now we read about that also in Ezekiel, if I can find my cursor here so I can get to that location. Okay, where did it go? Here we are. In Ezekiel 28:14, talking about the anointed cherub, Satan. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and hath set thee, and I have set thee. So thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And we also know that when God came down to visit the Israelites on the mountain there, as he descended, the upper third of that mountain, all of the stones are glazed over and have been fired. They have actually been burned when you see that particular object. So with God in his power, it follows that that power causes everything around it to ignite as well. I can't imagine all of the full power of God. But anyway, it describes it there. And then power of God when he moves from his throne to go down to earth to judge the earth in his wrath, that we see the silence in heaven. These scriptures also speak of the day of God's wrath, and it appears it really only takes him about a half an hour for him to complete his wrath and judgment. The day of wrath in Revelation is described starting in the judgment of the sixth seal. In fact, we have the sixth seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh plague, and we'll see that in a moment. It says in verse 12 of chapter 6 of Revelations, from 12 to 17, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black and as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and even, and every bondman and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and shall be, and who shall be able to stand? Boy, when you read that, you understand that all of the mountains are going to be moved out of their place. All of the islands are going to be moved out of their place. Now, we'll find out that even though that is happening, if we are in the hand of God as his saints, as those that are earnestly following him, we need not worry. But woe unto those that spurn God and are opposed to him. As we notice in verse 15, 16, and 17 of that passage, how much devastation occurs during his wrath. We really don't want to be on the opposing side against God. And the seventh trumpet in Revelation 11, rather, we'll notice the difference between those that are judged in this wrath and those that are receiving his rewards. And the nations were angry. And this is Revelation 11:18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Look at what is happening right now. Look at that phrase, destroy the earth. What's happening now in this pandemic? What's happening to the economy of every nation on earth? What's happening to the people? Is it not a move of destruction already? Anyway, and continuing on, the judgment of the seventh plague in Revelation 16 is also contained in the, as I said, in the seals and the trumpet judgments. These three sets of judgments, the seals, the trumpets, and the plagues, happen so close together that most of the events are actually describing the same event, and it's happening simultaneously, with some exceptions where the events are happening close together and they're actually happening in a sequence, whereas in the seals, only one third of the living creatures in the ocean and on earth, on the land, are destroyed. In the plague, they're utterly destroyed, 100%. So you have one following after the other. Again, the judgments are only for the evil and wicked. The saints, the servants of the Lord, will see the judgments, but they shall not these judgments shall not come near us, just as he promised and describes in Psalms 91. And I'd like to interpose that particular psalm because this is such a heavy subject. You need to know what God thinks of you and describes in his care of you during these great tribulation times and times of wrath. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee, and I lost my place, with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee. Now here's a prophecy that's already been fulfilled in Jesus himself. To keep thee, that would be Jesus, in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shall thou trample underfoot. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalms, the whole Psalms 91. Now, the judgment of the seventh plague, starting in verse 17 of chapter 16. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Now, who's the prince of the air? Satan himself. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since man were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. We just read that before, didn't we? And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. The Lord continues in describing this event in Psalms 50. For example, in applying these scriptures to today, the Lord speaking not only to all nations, but specifically he is speaking to the, at this time, to the United States of America, their federal government, throughout the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Justice, in their illegal, unconstitutional land grab attempts with innocent citizens, particularly throughout the Western United States, along with the governmental promotion of immorality, abomination, those sexual sins of man with man, woman with woman, and the abortions worldwide. And here's the scriptures. But unto the wicked, God says, what has thou to do to declare my statutes, or what, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction and casts away my word behind thee, when thou when thou sawest a thief, then thou consented with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Continuing on, God is speaking also to the Supreme Court, the DOJ, the CIA, and all the other intelligence agencies, along with Congress, the executive, and the judicial branches of government. The Lord says specifically for this period of time that at least for at least the last 12 years, and you could actually extend it over a time of 150 or 160 years, but specifically for the last 12, and it starts out in verse 19 of Psalm 50, thou givest thy mouth to evil, thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thee, before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there is none to deliver you. Even though this is detailed in our one specific country, the United States of America, it is happening worldwide. However, because we are a nation whose founding was and is under the covenant with God, we are the more to be focused to receive God's judgment. This is serious, folks. Nevertheless, because of these never before worldwide events, the pandemic, the masks, the distancing, the lockdowns, and the present evil conditions, it makes these times most likely to be the time of the introduction to the beginning of the end times. And in fact, it is so close that the final single day of God is included in this. And this period of end times, this introduction itself, is so close as to be part of the actual end times. Are not most world leaders going along with their accomplices, such as the rich, the powerful, altogether corrupt? Aren't they perverted, vile, evil, wicked individuals. At the conclusion of the end time events, to include the Lord's day of wrath, we will see the coming of the real Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. There is at this particular time, as we're actually meeting together over the years, the Antichrist is alive and well and walking on this face of the earth. That's how close we are. Now, when Christ comes, he'll come in the clouds with great power and glory. He will not be hidden. Everyone will see him. As we see above in the previous passages of this final day, the wicked and the evil have much, much to fear. When the Lord pours out his Spirit on all flesh, the wicked will experience it, but will reject him and his Spirit, and his Spirit will depart from them. But to those who are in the Lord, even to those who are seeking him, he will increase so that we all will respond according to Joel in chapter 2, where it states in verse 28, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions." So there's a twofold aspect to that pouring out of his Spirit. Unto those that are destined for wrath shall come wrath. Unto those that are destined for reward shall come reward. Of the unrighteous it is written, "And now ye know what withholdeth." And as I have said before, this appears to be Michael the archangel, or it will be the Holy Spirit taking him out of the way, that he might be revealed in his time. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Now this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Only he who now letteth," and that means to hold back, will hold. "Until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceit, deceivableness, unrighteousness in them and that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Look at what we see right now. We have a fraudulent pandemic, a lie, strong delusion. How many are not? You know, it almost seems as though there's no one that even is questioning it, that we're just grabbing hold of it and running with it as though it were true, when in fact it is a strong delusion. Beware. Picking up on verse 12, this strong delusion that they believe a lie, that they all may be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They may experience pleasure for the moment, but there shall be a price that is not one that anyone would want. However, in the same event, the Lord says, of the righteous, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay vows upon the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Who offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that our conversation, that means his way of life.
Major Tom, hold that thought there.
Yes.
Your connection's breaking up. I'm going to call you right back. Are you on Wi-Fi or an Ethernet cable tonight?
I'm on Wi-Fi.
We need to get you on Ethernet cable next week if you can. Wi-Fi has been giving us trouble across the board. Hang on a second. I'm going to call you right back.
Okay.
Okay. Hang on a sec, folks. We're going to get Major Tom back. Professor Tom, you still there?
Yes, I'm there.
Okay.
This is very interesting.
Very good word tonight. Let's get the Major back. Folks, welcome aboard.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we're here with Professor Tom Mack, Major Tom Baird. And I've been shipping people Ethernet cables to help them out, Tom. Some people have it, but they're maybe 25 or 50 feet away. We can get a cable up to 100-foot length. But if we can get the Major connecting on Ethernet, it'll give them a better connection. The Wi-Fi kind of sucks. Okay.
Yeah. I want to add one more scripture to what he just said. Isaiah 66:4.
Welcome back, Major. Go ahead, brother.
Yes.
I want to add one scripture about strong delusion. In Isaiah 66:4, I will also choose their delusion. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Mm-hmm. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighteth not. So, when you see that strong delusion, it's a judgment. It's a severe judgment.
Amen.
And it's just, it fits in there, and I just...
Yes, exactly.
Isaiah 66 is a chapter that sometime we really need to dissect, and probably as we go trailing this beast in the coming weeks, we're going to get to this chapter and have to really work this over.
Right.
But this one fits what you're doing tonight.
Yeah.
Professor, continue.
Are you hearing me?
Yes,
are
sir.
You hearing me all right?
You're coming through good.
Yes, you're great.
Okay.
Major, continue.
Praise God.
Yes, sir.
Yes. These are the times that we live in right now. And these scriptures are speaking to us directly. We know that the beast is a beast system. But it also is personified, as we can see right here in these particular verses. And in Isaiah, it narrows it down to a focal point of an individual
and
that we shall see.
The delusion that they sell.
That's correct.
And believe me, we're getting sold a delusion right now. And when I went up to Denver today, and as I went in various places, the delusion was so strong. I almost don't want to go back there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have never seen anything so strong and heavy in my life.
Exactly. That brings up a good point, Tom. And that is that if you have a medical condition, avoid hospitalization at any cost. Because once you enter there, you are under their tyranny and you are a prisoner in their domain. You may not have entered in with COVID or with any deadly disease, but you will get one and you will not be released until you're dead. That's what I'm seeing right now. And that also comes from healthcare workers that I speak to and that I hear of. They're recommending don't go to a hospital if you can at all keep from it. Obviously, if you've got some conditions or an accident with great trauma and things like that, you're not going to have much choice in what happens. But if I'm looking at, the hospital nearest me is known as the house of death. Most people that go in with a terminal disease never come out alive. It's that bad. And so most people avoid going there if they can be treated at home. At least they're in their family's loving arms when they pass away, and they're not isolated and in a strange place, because that's what you're going to be if you go into those institutions.
Yeah, one of the things I'm finding, and I hear this almost weekly now from somebody. You know, when it first started, I even heard it was, if you have a family member, say in a nursing home, with COVID-19 as it is, relatives can't see this person in the nursing home. They are limited to phone calls. Mm-mm. And without exception, the victims in the nursing home are dying. And many times it's the man of the family that's dying in the nursing home, and the wife is left as a widow to fend for herself because her man isn't there.
Yep.
And for a lot of them, they're in their 70s, so there isn't any other man in the offing.
That's right.
Because sad to say, when a man's in his 70s, there's 50-year-old women, they'll flock to his door. Isaiah talks about that too. There's 50-year-old women that are going to flock to his door. And as a man is going to pick a younger woman almost every time, just because he knows that a younger woman is more capable of taking care of him as he gets older.
Yes, sir. You're still with us.
It isn't.
Okay.
It isn't selfish. It sounds a little selfish, but it really isn't. It's practical. And
yeah, you know, if you're looking at your particular condition, health-wise, and you see that you've got the possibility of a shortened period of time that you'll still be alive on Earth, would you rather spend it isolated and abandoned in a strange place, or be in your family's arms?
Yeah,
I'm choosing the latter. Obviously, I will avoid being institutionalized to my last breath if I can. Because I would much rather be, look, for 5,000 years, most everybody died in the arms of the loved one. I remember my dad, my grandfather died many, many, many years before I did. He was born in 1850, so he would have died quite quite a long time because I didn't come along until 1940. But my dad always told me, and he was about an eighth grader in school at the time, that he was able to hold his dad's hand as he passed away.
Yes.
And that meant a lot, not only to my grandfather by that testimony, but I could tell that it meant a great deal to my father. And I was hoping that things would work out so that I too might be able to hold my father before he passed away. Unfortunately, he went in for a preventative operation. He had diabetes and he had had 1 foot removed because of infection, and the other foot got infection. The doctor attempted to salvage a part of his foot, and in so doing, he didn't get all the infection. So my dad had blood poisoning, and in the subsequent treatment for that, and of course, they needed to do another operation, but his heart was so weak that he was going to die on the operating table if they did. So the surgery was out of the question. And to make matters even worse, there was an accident where a young nurse put a feeding tube in to feed him, and instead of going down his digestive system, it went into his lungs, and they poured in milk and mashed potatoes right in his lungs directly. And it took about 3 days of that induced pneumonia before my dad died, but I wasn't able to be there. We were allowed to be at his side 15 minutes every 4 hours. And so we were close enough, we could drive back, and we were about 30 miles away, so we could visit the 15 minutes and then drive back and rest for a while and then come back in. And it was during one of those period of times, in fact, I was able to actually see my father, or the evidence of my father's death. I wasn't able to the Lord provided that for me. I was out in the, we were in a rural area. My mother was tending about 40 goats at the time, milking goats, and they were much easier for her because my father was not ambulatory at that point in time. She could handle them as opposed to full-grown cattle. And I was out on the back porch facing actually the opposite direction from where the hospital was, and I was just having an earnest time in prayer and waiting on the Lord. And as I was standing there and looking out across the fields and across the partly cloudy sky, for aviators, you know what that means. And suddenly, there was not a bolt of lightning. This was a column of bluish white light about the width of a large telephone pole that you would view from approximately a half mile away. And that column went through the clouds all the way into heaven, but it came actually down from heaven through the clouds into the earth, and it stayed there for a couple, 3 seconds, and then it was gone. And, of course, obviously, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is that? And his answer was to give me a sense of urgency to rush down to the barn, which was a little separated distance from the house, to complete the evening chores. It was there's two things that happened. That sense of urgency to get the chores done right instantly as fast as I could. In fact, it was like a military alarm where you would, as soon as you heard it, you'd run at top speed to get to what you had to do. And the other thing was to look at my wristwatch. And it was precisely to the second, 6:30 in the evening. And so we were, as I was doing that, I ran into my mother coming from the front. I was in the back of the house. She was coming from the front side of the house towards the city street. And we continued to work frantically to do the chores and finish them up. And within 15 minutes, we'd actually gotten everything finished, and we got a phone call. We had a landline down with a phone connected to it at the barn. So when the phone rang, we could answer it right there. And she answered it, and they said, we need you to come in. And she's talking to my mother. Your husband is failing rapidly. Well, he had already died. She knew it and I knew it. Unknown to me, she told me later, about an hour later, she says, when you described your vision of that bluish-white light, that shaft of light that came down from heaven, and that you understood that the Lord was receiving Dad into his bosom, she says, I know that what you saw was true, because when you were seeing that, I was in the bedroom and I was weeping and I was praying to the Lord, oh Lord, don't let my husband suffer so much, because you could see how hard he was struggling just to get one breath. And as she's saying that, Dad appeared and he says, well, are you satisfied now? And she says, no, and my dad's name was Walter. She says, no, Walter, I just can't bear to see you struggle so hard and be in such suffering. And I don't want it to last on you. And he says, okay, I understand. And he said goodbye. And God allowed that communication between my dad and my mom. And then he was gone. And of course, I saw the evidence of him being gone. So she had actually talked to Dad on his way to heaven.
Wow.
Which is unusual. Yeah. But God takes care of us that way. That's what we need. We don't need these tyrant dictators that are in the hospitals. And believe you, they are. You're treated more like a criminal than you are a patient now.
Absolutely.
Particularly with,
you're going to be vulnerable.
How
there.
Can you?
And you could be cut off from all family. Again, they're doing the same down here. They had a lady who was having difficulty in pregnancy. She had a heart attack. Her family were not allowed to see her. Some people are not seeing their loved ones until they've died and been cremated. This is horrible what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
And the
terrible.
Elderly folk in
That's inexcusable.
In the homes?
Really?
Many of them, they're sitting ducks. Some of these groups are coming in, they're injecting them with the COVID vaccines. In America, I'm talking about.
And sadly, and look at New York with the elderly homes. Tens of thousands that are dead simply because of the deliberate act of the governor himself.
He should be tried for murder.
He should.
They want to kill these people.
It's a capital offense.
So they can take their retirement. They don't have to pay out. I'm here to tell you, folks, this is eugenics going on. And that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, you got Dr. Kevorkian working in these places. They want to kill off as many of us as they can. And it's an easy kill for the elderly in these homes. You know what? I'll tell you what. It's a disgrace that people in this day and age are putting the family in these homes. We didn't used to do this. This
that's
would be
right.
akin to parents taking the children instead of raising them, send them off to a school because they don't want to be bothered. And you know what? We've got a situation like this in my own family. My 90-year-old grandfather is sitting in a home. And my mother had him in there for 1 year, and none of her brothers and sisters would help. They're going to give an accounting to God. I tried to get Granddad here to Bali. I talked to him even last week and asked him to come. He doesn't want to come. But I had hoped that I could have had my grandfather in this house here with me and live out his last days with family. But we take them, and we don't want to have anything to do with taking care of the needs. We send them off to a home to die. Folks, people are going to give an accounting. You can make what excuses you want. Well, they need 24-hour care. Well, yes, so does a baby. So does a young child growing up. They took care of us. We can't take care of them. It would be an honor.
That's right.
To have my grandfather here. Like that.
Exactly.
Book, The Good Earth, where the father lived with Wayne Lung. Even after he got married, the grandfather lived there. And you had the grandfather and the grandchild out in the sun, enjoying life together. Folks, we should not take our family and send them off to die in these homes. This is sad, but this is America. They don't do it over here. They take the mom or dad who may be a widow and they move them in with you. I'm talking Walton style. We don't do that anymore. We don't want to be bothered, do we?
Yeah. I remember my folks, when I was a child, about 10 years old, 10 to 12 years old, and we were talking about, I think there was one individual that had no family whatsoever, no close relations. He was by himself, and he got injured, and so they put him in what they called an old folks home because there was no one else to take care of him. And there was such an anathema, such a distaste to think that someone would be put in a home. Nobody put anybody in a home in those days. And it was an abomination if you did, because that generation and the generation before them understood the price of liberty. And they understood that with liberty comes freedom. But not anymore. We have sold our birthright for a bowl of porridge.
Dear God, they send you to a pleasure. Home to die in a hotel room. That's the equivalent of these homes, and some of them mistreat the people over there. And now you can't even go in to visit. They have these people on lockdown many times. They haven't seen any family. They're just sitting there waiting to die. People are going to answer for that. I would never do that to my mother and dad. I told my mother that a few months ago. I said, Mom, you'll never go to a home. You're moving in with me. I'll take care of you till you die, should the Lord tarry, right here with family. I can get off on a micro sermon about that. It makes me angry that we treat the elderly with such disdain.
Yes, yes. And that is by design. This wickedness and evil is literally by design. That's why we can see that we are in the end times, because it's so pervasive worldwide. And it could only be accomplished because of demonic forces uniting and the Lord saying, enough is enough. The full measure of wickedness and evil has reached to the brim and is almost at the moment where the Lord will say, now I'm coming. And that's that time of the day of wrath. And it's not going to be very long. As I read the scriptures here, it really does appear that it's only going to take God about half an hour to encompass the entire world, strip it of all evil and all wickedness, and all those who carry the evil and wickedness with them will be gone as well. There will be no more. It says it will be wiped from the face of the earth.
Major Tom, Professor Tom, we're out of time tonight. But this is a powerful word. Jesus is coming back. And folks, in the meantime, we need to occupy.
Yes.
Brother, it's time to storm the beaches of Normandy in the spirit. It's time to suit up.
Amen.
And go to war against the host of hell. We may die in the process, but you just got a battlefield promotion. You go into the immediate presence of the Lord. And some of us will push through and beat the enemy and then go to the next objective. That's what soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ do. Either way, we have to show up for the day of battle. It's coming. And if we don't, there's going to be many souls lost who are waiting for the gospel to be brought for them, or deliverance or healing. That's why we're here. We're not here by mistake. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. If a person would like to reach you in the ministries, how can they do that?
This is Tom Baird, Major Retired, and my contact information is I have a website, and it's called aliveontheedge.com, and the email is the same. It's tom@aliveontheedge.com. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, we don't want to forget copperscrollincident.info.
Oh, true, yeah.
And mine is tom.mack@whitestonefoundation.org. My websites are whitestonefoundation.org, biblecodes.co, whitecottagepublishing.com, antichristwatch.org, and we got a lot of research between the two of us. The Lord has just almost deluged us with a lot of information, and we're desperately trying to get it out.
Amen.
Also, I forgot one, ancient-evil.org. And that one's inspired by our late friend Olaf Hagee, who died introducing this subject. And we're fighting to get it out because there's not much time.
I want to thank you, gentlemen, for coming on tonight. And we'll have this up in the archives this evening, and I look forward to seeing you back next week, gentlemen. God bless you.
We're looking forward to it.
Oh, for
thank
the
you for
yes,
the song.
Amen. Thank you very much.
For the
Lord
archive,
be with you.
What do you want to call tonight's message?
The soon coming day of the Lord.
Sounds good to me. We'll see you soon, gentlemen. God bless you.
Okay.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Folks, stand by as we continue the marathon. Coming up next, we've got the Coens. Okay. Let me go ahead and dial back in. Stand by.